What's up, McConaugheads? Welcome to the Mastering McConaughey podcast, where we explore the filmography and philosophy of Matthew McConaughey. I'm your guest host, Mark.
And I'm your guest host, Johnny.
And I'm your guest host, Lizzie.
Welcome to the show, Lizzie.
Thank you.
Welcome, Babs.
Babs? You're just going to call me Babs now?
Sorry, I was like, I want to do this in character. What's my character going to be? And I was thinking of the bad guy in Happy Gilmore. Mm-hmm. I can't remember his name. Shooter McGavin. Mm-hmm. That was it. That was going to be Shooter McGavin. I'm just not feeling it, though. I couldn't keep it up.
No, it's not you at all.
You eat pieces of shit for breakfast? No.
So, Lizzie, we've mentioned you several times on the podcast.
Yes.
You and Johnny are married. Johnny, yep. What do you have a nickname for Lizzie that you normally call her?
Really, usually babe. We just yell babe at each other across the house.
Yeah.
Tits.
You've never once called me tits.
I can start.
Okay.
Well, Lizzie, I think you specifically wanted to be on this episode,
and
we wanted you to have on this episode, because today we're talking about how to lose a guy in 10 days.
Woohoo! Yeah, this was my only requirement of this podcast, was that I get to come on for this episode.
You've been talking about it since we started.
So I assume this movie has a special place in your heart?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's only the best Matthew McConaughey movie of all time.
Oh.
Well, she can say what she
wants.
It
may not be a popular opinion, and I don't care.
In the hierarchy of places in your heart, where there's your husband.
Uh-huh.
Ding, ding.
Ding, ding.
Your firstborn child.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Your secondborn child.
Mm-hmm. And my unborn child.
And how to lose a guy in 10 days. Just those four. Mm-hmm. Where do they rank?
You know, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days is very up high. Have you seen him in that movie?
I have.
Yeah. I have. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We have.
Yes.
It's a very good
did my homework.
For him.
Whatever. Whatever. All right. Fine.
It's, you know, here's the thing though, is like, I've had a relationship with Matthew McConaughey before I've had a relationship with you. He may not know about it, but.
Only three of the four people on that list have had their mouth on your breast. Okay.
That's so weird.
Just saying.
Or alternate take would be been inside you.
Facts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Only three of those four men have been inside you.
How do you know? It's not four for four. To be fair, I would not be with you if it had been him first. I love you, but.
You say that like he would keep you. Okay.
Are we going to have therapy today on this podcast episode? Okay, Mark, you can continue now.
I get older, they stay the same age.
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do.
So this movie premiered February 7th, 2003. What was going on in your life at that time, Lizzie?
Well, I was 11 years old, so I definitely did not watch this movie till I was a little older.
Okay.
Yeah, I would have been living in Sweden at this point, actually.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the Swedish philosophy of Matthew McConaughey?
I think he's very, very accepted there. Yeah, very widely accepted there.
Hmm.
Yep.
It's because he's white, isn't it?
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Swedes. Well, I was a freshman in high school at this time. Does that sound right, Mark?
Not 15? A freshman.
Nope.
I think 16? You graduated in 2005.
I did. So. You're right.
Well, I was in elementary school.
They stayed the same age.
But seriously, I was still in elementary school.
No. Yeah, Mark, you're absolutely right. Math is way off on that one. So it would have been a sophomore, let's say.
Yeah. Yeah. You were in high school.
Yeah. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. The movie came out February 7th, 2003. It's just short of 2 hours long. Did y'all feel like this was too long? Do you feel like it should have been a 90-minute movie?
No, I feel like it fit everything in perfectly.
I wasn't bored. I didn't know.
Yeah,
like,
I don't think you could have shortened it.
No parts where I was like, you can take that out. You know, it was funny. It was a good time. How about you? What do you think, Mark? What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't think there was really.
I don't think you could have cut anything
extraneous.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Less nudity probably could have been helpful. You know, really seemed to take away from the movie.
What? There was no nudity.
Well, maybe more nudity. I don't know.
What? You're so weird. Is this a joke?
I don't know what he's doing.
Is this an inside joke with yourself?
Yeah, I'm just here co-hosting. All right.
So the budget, Mark.
Yeah, the budget on this was $50 million, and it raked in $177 million.
That's a pretty good payday.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. That was a good haul.
That's part of the reason why McConaughey got pigeonholed, I think, into doing a few rom-coms because of the success of Wedding Planner and then this even bigger success.
So Wedding Planner came first.
Yes.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Yeah. McConaughey plays a man named Ben in this movie or Benny Boo or Benny Boo Bear or whatever.
Boo Boo.
His character in Angels in the Outfield was named Ben.
Okay, so it's a good name for him.
Yeah. He plays opposite Kate Hudson. I read that Gwyneth Paltrow was originally supposed to play Kate Hudson's role.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah, no, it would not have gone as well, I don't think.
She went on to do something like Look From Above or another film.
That did not do well.
Well, it didn't do near as well. And her look was just so bland. I was like, she would have been awful in this movie. Would have tanked it.
I feel like she's just so not animated.
Mm.
Like Kate Hudson is way more like personality and energy.
Yeah, she was very playful.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, it had to be Kate Hudson.
100%.
And then Adam Goldberg is in this connection with McConaughey. He was in Dazed and Confused and Ed TV.
Yeah.
So. Mm.
Yep.
And then people would recognize Catherine Hahn from a bunch of stuff, but she was Adam, what's his name's wife in Step Brothers.
I'm gonna roll you into a little ball and shove you up my vagina. You could just live there.
Your vagina?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah.
She was.
And Tom Lennon from Reno 911.
Got a call that somebody's been given tug jobs. Here in the restroom of tacos.
I believe this was Catherine Hahn's first major role.
Oh, really?
Did you pick up on that? I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. During the interview or the reading, her first reading was with the director and Kate Hudson. So she was super nervous. Her phone kept going off during the reading. And I think they said she got it because she was able to play on that, just make it work in the script. Hmm. Like it didn't stop her. She was able to just keep rolling.
And her phone went on and she was like, oh God, you know, and she goes and she's getting the phone and she's like, hello? She answered the phone. She goes, hello, Patrick, I have to call you back.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
She's very talented.
She is. She kind of weirds me out just a little bit. I don't know if that's her character, if like that's her typecast, or if she and I wouldn't be able to sit in the same room together, but she freaks me out just a little.
Okay.
No?
Not she does you? Have a unique look.
Which one is she again?
Redhead, one of the friends.
Only dated the guy a week. That was the best week of my life.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
She's the friend who...
The crazy, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The crazy,
yeah.
She's in a lot of stuff, though.
She is.
She did other stuff with Kate Hudson. Didn't she do... Oh, gosh. It was that movie with, like, the mom died or something. I think she was in that one. I could be making this up.
The one where the mom died.
See,
I could be making this up, guys. I told Lizzie. Movies are not my thing.
I told Lizzie, I'm going into the office to do some research. And she goes, why? You're just talking about a movie. This is why.
Sorry, guys. I just show up and talk shit. I could be making
it. Yeah, she was in Glass Onion, which was a good one.
That was good. Yeah.
I've never seen that.
It's on Netflix.
WandaVision, A Bad Mom's Christmas. Is that what you're thinking of?
Is she with Kate Hudson in that?
Or Bad Moms? No.
I've seen Bad Moms. I don't know what I'm thinking of.
It's okay, babe. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Did y'all catch that this movie is based on a book of the same name?
No.
Yes, I did.
That's cool.
Did you look into it at all, Johnny?
I didn't look into it. It looked like a thicker book. And I do know that the two best friends were named after the two authors of the book.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't catch that.
Yep. True story.
Yeah, the subtitle of the book is The Universal Don'ts of Dating.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like it's like a guide of how to snag a guy.
Okay.
By not doing these.
So they took inspiration from that book to write the script for the movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
You want to read that book?
No. I don't need to be doing that.
I'm just saying.
We could buy it for our au pair.
Okay. So other things, Mark, did you know that Matthew McConaughey almost didn't get this role because of his vast age difference with Kate Hudson?
I read that that was a concern.
It was.
What is their age difference?
Almost 10 years.
He's older?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
She was only 23.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
And he was 33?
32, almost. 33 maybe. But it made sense because I watched an interview that she did promoting the movie. And I was like, my God, she's like a little teenage Barbie.
But they don't look that different in the movie. I would never guess that,
no.
that there's that age gap.
Well, it's Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, she looks, well, and in the role that she's in, her job, you know, it's like she's out of college several years.
Yeah, like a successful career.
Into her career.
Yeah.
Yeah. So 27, 28.
Yeah, that's what I would have guessed.
At least.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Whereas, you know, if you look back on other things, like shot in the 90s, they would have 30-year-olds playing teenagers, and we all believed it.
Right.
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 You're a fake and a phony, and I wish I'd never laid eyes on you.
You guys talked about how she carried herself. Anyone, mm-hmm. and I guess this is directed towards you, Mark, anyone catch how she studied for the film?
No.
She got a one-day, shadowing of a Vogue editor, the Vogue editor, whoever it was. She was very scary, very Devil Wears Prada.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
That's cool. It's always fun when you hear about, you know, an actor spending a day or a week at the firehouse, or if you're playing a stripper, you go to the strip club and, hang out. Mm-hmm. And
that's what I did. That's how I studied.
Is that what he did for Magic Mike?
We're going to Chippendales.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, Mark.
Can I come?
I'll
come.
The top's closed. I was going to say, you know, when that comes around, can we record in a strip club and just go on site? Just do it there.
Sure. Why not?
I don't feel like strip clubs allow you to record in them.
Audio? I don't think we're taking anything away from them.
Yeah, we could record in the changing room. So there'd be an ambiance.
Exactly. You know, not a lot of loud music. It's just...
Right.
Just naked people.
We could, you know, they could sit down with us on our laps and, you know, get involved.
Okay.
I'd let Channing Tatum sit in my lap.
I think we're going to talk.
I'd be fine with that.
I'd sit in his lap.
To be fair, he's a little old now. I wonder how old he is.
You are here simply because you look young. You some Justin Bieber, Miley Cyrus looking motherfuckers.
Well, Johnny, you did a deep dive on this. Do you have any other trivia, any fun facts?
I do know that Matthew McConaughey bought his first motorcycle in preparation for this film.
Bought his first or mm-hmm. rode yep. his first?
Nope, bought his first motorcycle.
I know where he rode motorcycles.
Where?
In Europe.
Oh.
He and a friend went and rented motorcycles. He had two friends?
Wasn't it two friends?
I think it was one friend.
I'm sure he has more than one friend.
I think it was one friend because one of them was on a Ducati, and one of them, I think, was on a BMW.
Cole chose a big bull of a bike, a Kawasaki 1000. Rory, a Ducati Monster M900. Me, a BMW 450 Enduro.
And they rented these bikes from this German guy, and he was like the nicest man in the whole wide world.
You told us that story a week or so
it's
ago,
on his,
Mark.
It's in his book, Green Lights, which I have read, so I am really the master of McConaughey here.
Okay.
Fantastic book. I recommend it all the time.
Mark is literally opening up the book right now.
Okay, so...
I own the paper book, I own the audio book, and I own the digital book.
Have you listened to the audio book?
No, just a few lines.
It is the best audio book I have ever heard. Like, hearing him speak, it's like you don't want to ever stop listening. It's just so good. So good. Anyways.
He's got a voice... It just drips every word in honey.
Yeah, it honestly does. And he has poetry, and he reads his poetry. It's great. But yeah, so him and his friend, they rented these motorcycles, went around Europe, One or both of them crashed. I don't remember.
Rory laid the Ducati down, doing 120, getting off the Autobahn exit. Somehow, he came out of it with only minor cuts, bruises, a night in the hospital, and some mangled leather pants. But the brand new Ducati Monster M900 was totaled.
And then the owner came, picked up the crashed one, and gave them a new one. And was like, keep going, like, have the time of your life. And the wife was like held their flight tickets as collateral for them to come back and bring back these brand new bikes.
I mean, that was smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The wife is like me. Johnny would have given out free Ducatis.
But yeah, so he picked up his first bike for this role because he was going to pull a Tom Cruise. And he wanted to do his own stunts. He didn't want to have any cutaways, and he wanted people to see him riding his bike, which he did often in this film, and feel like he knew how to do it. Because he's like, I've seen films where people were riding horses, and I'm like, you don't know how to ride a horse. Like, they just weren't selling it.
Hmm.
So he was convinced he was going to sell it. So he bought a bike.
I mean, he already knew how to ride, though, but I guess he wasn't a daily rider.
Listen.
So now he was a daily rider.
I'm not going to contradict the great Matthew McConaughey. I'm just going to tell you what it is.
Sounds good.
That's all I can do. Anything else worth noting? I mean, obviously they had a great chemistry, right?
Yeah, if they kept on putting them together.
Right.
Yeah.
McConaughey attributes a lot of the success to that chemistry. He's like,
yeah.
The push and pull was great.
You can feel the chemistry. I think mm-hmm. that's why it's such a good movie. Is you're like, I fully buy into it.
Yeah.
You are like rooting for them.
Yeah, I love Failure to Launch. I can't wait to talk about that one. And him and Sarah Jessica Parker mm-hmm. have chemistry. Not quite to this level, they also have chemistry. And that's what makes it.
To be fair, it's Matthew McConaughey. Who wouldn't have chemistry with him?
Renee Zellweger.
See,
that's because he was stuffing his hand down her mouth, and
I promise you and I are gonna have some fun.
Oh, no. Yeah, that would not work, probably.
Pointing a shotgun at her and stuff like that.
That was a thing, but I don't know. Maybe they did have a little sexual chemistry there.
It's the suburbs of Austin, you know. Anything can happen out there in the woods. Mm-hmm.
That's it. I mean, that's it.
This is our go big or go home trip to Texas. Go get your own.
So I was trying to look up earlier, Mark. How much did Matthew McConaughey make on this film? Do you know?
I don't know. He doesn't say in green lights.
Well, only reason I ask is because the $50 million was the budget, right?
He couldn't have made mm-hmm. that much.
He couldn't have made that much.
So an actor, when a movie does really well, do they make any extra money off of it? It's like you were contracted to do this job. The people that make the money were investors off of it, or?
You want to take that, Mark?
I think you can negotiate in your contract to get points on the back end.
Okay.
So you'll take a lower amount up front. And if the movie does well, then you get a certain percentage of the profits. But I don't know if that's what
they did.
So
did he do that for like Dallas Buyers Club?
He funded that whole thing himself.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
I know that Brad Pitt is notorious for taking that lesser salary for points on the back end, and that's how he makes all his money.
That makes sense. Cool. When you're a big actor like that, or mm-hmm. you really believe in a project, then not a bad idea.
So, Johnny, what did the critics think of this masterpiece? Or Lizzie, do you have the numbers in front of you?
Go ahead, babe.
Yeah. So Rotten Tomatoes was lame and gave it a 42%. The tomato meter gave it a 77% audience rating.
The audience was 77%.
Ebert? Don't know these critics' things. Only gave it a 1.5 out of 4 stars. I think that is also quite lame.
You don't know who Ebert is? Is that what you said?
No, I don't know who Ebert is.
That's okay.
Okay. All right.
Again.
I was just asking.
I'm new to this thing. Metacritic, 45. User, 6.2. IMDb, 6.5 out of 10. Letterboxd, 3.5 out of 5 stars. I think these are pretty lame ratings, personally. I would have expected better.
Yeah, so Letterboxd is just an amalgamation of fans and self-described critics. So they gave it about, you know, 7 out of 10, if we convert that to a 10-point scale.
Yeah.
And then the audience on Rotten Tomatoes gave it 77%.
Yeah, I think the audience, the people, understood this movie better.
Right, absolutely.
I feel like most rom-coms, the people enjoy it more than the critics.
Well, I would say most critics are probably men, maybe.
Yeah, and McConaughey talks about rom-coms as a Saturday morning film. He gets to play a Saturday morning character, you know, low stakes, fun, feel good.
Yeah.
And yeah, those aren't going to win any big awards.
No.
Sure.
Or big points with critics. But which by the way, this is not
lame.
This did not win any awards.
No, it did not. Also lame.
I tell you what, I was going back again, trying to figure out how much he made on this film. I couldn't figure it out, but I did find another little nugget that I just want to put in there. If y'all don't mind, if you have a minute. Matthew McConaughey took this role based on the nudge of a fortune teller.
Well, I need to know who that fortune teller is.
Yes. Per his own account, he walked out of the studio, okay? And he was approached by this guy on the street, like a little guru fortune teller. Mark is like, the fuck? Okay.
This is very on brand.
All right. And the guy said, Can I tell you your fortune? He said, sure, man. You're considering a rom-com right now. And if you don't take it, it will be the biggest regret of your life.
Facts. I need to know who this fortune teller was.
It's in Variety.
Okay. That guy was a paid crisis actor.
That's exactly what I'm saying. The first thing that came to my mind was, I am going to get one of these. Okay, and I'm going to send him out and make sure that all my deals work from now on. Mm-hmm.
Well, Johnny, what are you drinking today?
I believe this beverage has produced an emotional response.
I have a pint and a pickled egg.
And red wine is the worst for my sores.
You think maybe you and I can brew up some juice?
Mark, I have a mediocre cup of coffee at best. It is cold. It is brewed this morning. And it is in a Thrive mug. How about
okay.
you?
Okay. Does that reflect your feelings on this film? Cold, mediocre?
Mm-hmm. No, dude, I am warm to this film. I am just, you know, I don't know what to do when we tape this show in the middle of the fucking day.
Yeah, it is. You know, that is
we're
weird,
about 9 hours ahead of schedule here.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, guys. We have kids. If we're going to record this, we got to do it during the day.
That's fair.
That's right. But yeah, Johnny, you're still doing the 75 hard. So
I am 75 hard. I think I'm 15 or 16 days in.
You're more than that.
Am I?
I think you're at 2 weeks tomorrow.
That's only 14 days.
Maybe you're at 3 weeks. <I don't> It might be 3 weeks. I think it's 3 weeks.
Yeah, so
math is hard for me, you guys.
So yeah, no alcohol.
It's definitely been 3 weeks. It's not two.
Mark, what are you having?
Johnny, I got a cold beer.
Yeah,
I think the first time that McConaughey has, you know, that Ben has Andy over to his apartment,
yeah,
he offers her a cold beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I like his inflection.
Can I get you a cold beer?
Can I get you a cold beer? Mm-hmm. Something like that, but yeah.
Yeah, it stood out. I know him, exactly so. What you mean. Yeah, know exactly that.
So I'm drinking a cold beer. Lizzie, what are you drinking?
Oh, sorry.
Well, I am drinking a Barry LaCroix for Benjamin Barry.
Woo!
And it even looks very much like this movie. When she, like, the can looks like when she... went and like decorated his apartment.
Saw the new comforter.
Oh, it does.
It's
yeah.
It's giving me those vibes.
God. That was.
Yeah, is there Vagisil and tampons taped to the bottom there?
That was amazing. Like just that scene, that whole idea, I was like, damn.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, yeah, it's time to jump into this thing. Let me give us a little synopsis, a little jumping off point. I'm sure anybody who's listening has watched this movie because. Who hasn't seen the movie, but I'll give us a little synopsis. Andy, a serious journalist who is stuck with the relationship advice column at a magazine called Composure Magazine, which I think is a stand-in for Cosmo magazine. She is tasked with losing a guy in 10 days for an article. Conversely, Ben is tasked with making a woman fall in love with him before the big diamond ad event, which happens to be happening in 10 days. So McConaughey and Kate Hudson fight their natural chemistry to stay together or break up for 10 days before learning about the deceit of the other and then eventually falling in love for realsies.
I loved your use of the word realsies there. It just seems so appropriate.
It's very Andy.
It is. It's very Andy. Now, Mark, you had a very special task for Lizzie on this particular show. And I think that we need to go ahead and just say, go, Lizzie.
Well, they have tasked me with trying to come up with an argument for why this is a bad movie. And I think that was cruel of you guys, because quite frankly, this is not a bad movie. This is the best Matthew McConaughey movie of all time. And so I think it was kind of rude of you guys personally, but no, there is nothing bad about this movie.
No, you have to try.
No, there's nothing.
You're fired if you can't come up with at least 20 seconds.
There's nothing. It's so good. It just makes you feel so good the whole time.
The things that are dumb or silly or corny, it all makes sense. It fits.
Yeah.
Right?
Like there's nothing that like it's cringe. It's so cringe. Like it makes you feel so uncomfortable sometimes. Like, why is she doing this?
I mean, I think that's the success of the movie. Both sides have a hidden agenda, but we as the audience know each of them. So we can see it from both sides. We're in on each joke. And it's hilarious.
It's beautiful.
That's why it's the worst movie.
I love McConaughey. Yeah. I love McConaughey up on the fire escape. He's like, oh, I'm going to make you fall in love with me. And then Andy's like,
what does she say?
I'm going to destroy you.
I'm going to make you wish you were dead or something.
Make your life miserable. I think that's it.
And she does her little like wave, a cute little wave.
Oh, you are already falling in love with me.
I'm going to make you wish you were dead.
All right. So McConaughey works at an ad agency doing the sports and beer ads, but he wants to get the big diamond account. The two ladies, Spears and Green, his competition at the ad agency. Did y'all catch that they call them lips and hips?
Yeah.
Not until you just said it.
And then Tom Lennon's character, I think, he calls them the Judies. The boss already gave that account to the Judies. So I wonder if they call them Spears and Green because both of their names are Judy.
Okay. I didn't catch that.
They're credited as Spears and Green with no first name.
Interesting.
Yeah. But yeah.
Okay.
So Lizzie, one of the Judies says a woman in lust wants chocolate and a woman in love wants diamonds.
What are your thoughts as the resident female?
Yeah. I mean, I think love symbolizes diamonds for sure. So I think that's accurate.
I mean, a diamond the morning of our wedding.
No, you gave it to me after our wedding.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Whatever.
100% positive.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should have given it to you before.
Why?
I don't know. So you would have had it.
Could have took it and ran.
Could. You're absolutely right. But you've worn it every day since, I feel like.
Yeah. I have it on my neck right now.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I never take it off. I'm very much a diamond person because my birthday is in April and that is our birthstone. So I like diamonds a lot.
Haven't given her one since.
No, you haven't.
Gotcha.
Nope.
Can you frost me, please?
I've thought about it, but like a tennis bracelet or something, but you don't wear any jewelry. And no. I'm like, that's expensive as shit.
To be fair, my ring that I'm currently wearing is from Amazon. My engagement ring. Because after pregnancy, my other one didn't fit. Did you not notice that?
No, not at all.
I have been wearing this for 6 months. At least, I guess.
That's why you didn't notice. Yeah.
Just part of it.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Frost yourselves.
Mark, what was your favorite scene in that movie? While you think about that, I will say.
I have a favorite scene.
Speaking of diamonds. Did you know that the diamond necklace, all of those diamonds actually, were in fact the real thing? The necklace was
the yellow.
I think it was 46 carats canary. Or 86
was it
carats.
A canary diamond. Is that what it was?
It was like the Isabella or something.
Canary.
I didn't know all of them real were thing. Real. Wow. It was like a $6 million diamond.
I think during an interview she said.
Isadora. Wasn't it Isadora?
Isadora, you're right. It was $50
million. Isadora, yeah.
The necklace.
Yeah. Oh, really?
My gosh. I think it's canary diamonds.
Well, yellow, yeah.
Right?
It was.
Okay.
And her dress for that scene was designed around that diamond.
It's an iconic dress. That dress is iconic.
It makes her ass
everything about her.
It does fall so right good. The way it needs to fall.
Yeah.
Well, and it was the cover of the movie. So like you just knew that movie by that dress.
I did not personally.
What?
No. But
I love that dress. Yeah, they were dreamt of that.
There were three dresses made for that scene. And she tried on the yellow one and they said, scrap the other two. We're good. That's the one.
100%.
Oh, cool.
Can I tell you guys my favorite scene?
Please.
Okay, so my favorite scene is the bullshit scene. I feel like that is just where everything changes. It's like where they fall in love.
Yeah.
It's just the best scene. And you see her like loving his family and his family like, oh my God, he brought a girl. Like, and the uncle and then they conspired together. Like, it's just such a good scene. Am I wrong?
Andy is kicking Ben's ass in bullshit.
Yeah, I like this girl.
Well, so I hesitated because that is also my favorite scene. But it's, you know, only one of two real scenes in the movie, like where they are being real with each other. So I was trying to think of, you know, one of the funny scenes, but that is...
That's got to be the best scene for me would be the poker night because it's so cringe. It's so cringe.
Nobody likes Mr. Sniffles.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Healthy boy.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Healthy.
Oh, that was.
No. The unhealthy pizza. Pulled pizza out of people's mouths and stuff.
Well, I liked the karaoke scene personally.
Oh, at the very end. No, that made me sad.
Why?
That made me sad. I mean, it was funny. Like
it was funny.
The redheaded lady, what was her name? DeLauer? Is that her name?
Miss DeLauer.
She's just like, this is fucking great. Everyone else is like, what? What is happening?
Yeah. Yeah, she is delusional.
You probably think this song is about you, Ben Barry, you're so big.
But Johnny, when, I was going to say McConaughey picks up Kate Hudson, but I guess they picked each other up. That very first night, he puts her on takes her from the bar onto the motorcycle to go eat crab legs. Would you ever take a first date, especially one that you just introduced yourself to, would you like take a woman to go eat messy barbecue or crab legs?
I'm not sure what his thought was there.
I think it was like...
That's such a good point,
it's
Mark.
It's so unique that like he just was so like niche with it. Like... Because it was so different and expensive. You got to think that's a pretty expensive meal. So, like, it was just very, like...
But there's nothing elegant or sexy about
it. No, but it's niche.
Well, but they were, suck on the crab leg to get the meat out and stuff.
Foreplay.
So maybe there is something sensual about it. I don't know. But, yeah, they're wearing bibs, eating this messy food.
I like it.
Well, then we're having crab legs in the bed tonight.
Okay. No, thank you.
Nothing but bibs.
You're never getting that butter out.
You're right. Nature's natural lubricant.
Oh, gosh.
I can't have that in the podcast.
Can you just save that for something special?
So after the crab legs, they go back to McConaughey's apartment, and his sexy song that he puts on is It's Getting Hot in Here.
Oh!
How do we feel
have
about
you
that
not
song
chosen
choice?
That one before?
I know that we have had sex with that song before.
That's like that's definitely on our like date night playlist.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah.
We are all about early 2000s throwbacks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I can see it. And it, suggestive. Hello. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I was very like, do you know what's about to happen right now? Yeah.
But they were moving quickly and they both wanted to have sex that night anyway, mm-hmm. you know, so it like worked out. But
it's a lot like the yes pillow or the no pillow, right? On the bed, you got yes on one side and no on the other. That way everyone's just clear about what's coming.
Too fast. I want you to respect me.
I do. And I want your respect.
I respect you for respecting me.
I respect that.
Yeah, the movie theater scene.
Oh, my boyfriend's gonna beat you up.
Right? Yeah, where Andy gets kind of hit in the face. Have y'all seen the movie Trainwreck with Amy Schumer?
Probably.
There's a scene where she is on a date with John Cena in a movie theater, and it's got to be an homage to this movie.
Put a muzzle on your old lady the next time you bring her out in public.
What?
Hey, Mark Wahlberg, shut your bitch up.
I will fuck you, all right? I will enter you.
You're going to enter me? Did you hear what he said?
Now I'm going to go back inside and finish watching Sleepless in Seattle.
Anyway, it's a funny scene. Okay. It's got to be an homage to this
John
movie.
John Cena, but he's all about that. Mark, I think we mentioned it on an earlier episode. He came out naked for the Oscars a couple weeks ago.
He did indeed.
Yeah, I still haven't seen that.
Dude, what are you doing? Like,
have you not seen that on social media anywhere?
When you're laying awake at night all by yourself, you don't just pull up naked pictures of John Cena?
No.
It's not his kink.
No, not John Cena. All right, so can we talk about how to lose a guy in 10 days?
Like the actual art of it?
Like, yeah, how to lose a guy? Because
mm-hmm.
I wrote down 11 things that they mentioned during the movie of like how to lose a guy.
Go.
Do you want us to guess?
Cry during sex.
Was that one of the things?
Yeah, that was one of the things Catherine Hahn's character did in the beginning.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, because it was so beautiful. She cried.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
So just throwing this out to y'all. And now, a word from our friends.
No, I don't have any friends.
You're the only friends I got out here.
Hey, everyone. Mark here. And I wanted to tell you about a new podcast that I'm hosting. It's called The Double Take, co-hosted by Terrence Jordan. He and I together, we talk about our favorite rewatchable movies. We try our best to bring our unique insight, and we do as much deep dive and behind-the-scene moments that you didn't even know existed. So if you like movies, give us a listen. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts, but to make it easy, you can find the links in the show notes for this episode. So remember, The Double Take, check us out, and now back to the show.
The first or second time you have sex with somebody and they cry during sex, is that a hard no? Are you saying, you know, I'm going to pull the ripcord on this?
That's a hard no for me. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know what to do. I'd probably put my clothes on and leave. Like, did I hurt you? I got to go. How about you, babe?
Okay.
Well.
What?
Maybe we'll just leave that out of the podcast. I'm not saying from
your... Why? I'm not saying from your personal experience, yeah, you know, just like...
Yeah, from in general, I would say it'd be a little weird, especially if a guy did it for me on my side of things. Mm. That would be really weird.
That'd be so fucking weird. Yeah.
But no. A girl doing it's like, yeah, that's weird. It's cringe.
All right. So this is day two of knowing each other. You have sex and the other person says, I love you. After crying, after sex.
No, that's red flag.
Is that a hard no? I'm pulling the ripcord.
Happened all the time.
Shit.
Yeah.
It was just the norm for me.
No, that's a little red flaggy.
All right. What about getting called over and over and over again by a blocked number?
Stalker.
Yeah. Okay. being clingy, needy, touchy feely.
Honestly, I'm a.
You would prefer that.
Yeah. I'm all about that. He's touch
like,
me.
Cling to me.
Cleave to me. As they say.
I have no experience with this, so.
Yeah, so like just after a few days of knowing each other, you would want the person to be clingy or needy?
I'm all into
just. Well, yeah, clingy, like touching you, you would be fine with. Needy, you would not be fine with.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
All right. What about calling the person in the middle of the night to tell them what you ate that day?
I would just be like, why?
What? I feel like when we.
So if you'd only known this person 2 to 5 days and they started doing this again, is that a hard no? Or are they getting another date after a conversation?
That's not a hard no for me.
Yeah, maybe not a hard no,
I would
but
just
weird.
Try to figure out what was happening.
Could this not have waited till tomorrow?
Yeah. Kind of like, thing. Are you trying to get to something else here? Like, yeah, it's beyond me.
Okay. What about baby talk?
Oh my God, no.
Don't.
Little Benny Boo.
Yeah, don't do that to me. Ever.
Boo, 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 boo.
My attorney is literally on this call, so I would not start doing that.
Johnny, 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 Johnny. What?
Bennykins, I'm home.
All right, the last two things they talked about were obsessing over old girlfriends and, you know, of the other person, or talking about your old boyfriends.
Okay, I think it's weird to obsess over the person's old girlfriends, but the talking about your past, I think, is a little okay. But not maybe not on day one or two.
Yeah, so this is, you know, within the first 5 to 10 days.
Yeah, probably not within the first 10 days.
Yeah, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Okay. Yeah, don't want to know. Unless you're talking about how much better I am than them. Be like, you would not believe what this guy did. But my God, you're so much better. You're so much bigger than this guy.
Okay.
Right?
Right. How big will it be? Big or little? Little, I don't know.
Wait, what was it? Princess Sophia, is that right?
What about Kroll?
Butch or Spike or Kroll the Warrior King.
He basically pulled your little dick out in front of everyone and jerked you off until nothing came out because you are a boy.
So she really shined. Like those, it was those times, right?
Where you're just like that.
Where she needed to distract him, so she grabs his thigh. No. Rips his shirt open.
She's like pulls him back in.
Puts her hands down his chest, down his abs, and then says, will Princess Sophia come out and play? I mean, again, Kate Hudson's like playfulness as that character.
The just, fact that she could just like flip it on a dime was so impressive.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting here mortified thinking that Lizzie's going to do one of these things to me tonight. Like, that's what she's going to do.
You'd be fine if I did any of those things tonight.
I mean, yeah, if you were like, Princess Sophia, I'd be like, she's coming out to play, baby.
I think if somebody tried to call my member Butch or Spike or Kroll the Warrior King, they would shrivel up. It'd be like,
oh, this not coming out
too much
because I would be thinking about this scene about Princess Sophia. Yeah.
So in an interview, Kate Hudson, that line came up and the interviewer asked her, you know, have you ever named a partner's member? And she's like, no, but I've heard other guys name other guys' members. And the interviewer was like, oh, really? Well, what name comes to mind? She goes, the hammer comes to mind. And I'm like, I was called the sledgehammer. I remember that.
Oh my gosh.
That's a what? True story.
Mark doesn't even
Which guy me. Gave it that name for you?
Patrick.
Maybe blur out that person. Maybe bleep out that person's last name.
But not that.
If that boy wasn't in Washington, D.C. on January 6th 3 years ago, I don't know who was.
That's the damnedest truth. Oh, God. Yep. You're
so
right.
His judgment is not great.
It was
like a good joke, but nobody laughed.
I mean, I was trying to keep going with that joke, but I was like, nope, not going to do it. Not going to do it. But to this day, the sledgehammer resides in my pants.
A man will refer to his dick or his rod or his Johnson.
Yep.
Okay. I have never nicknamed his member.
If you were going to, what would you call it?
Hi, Princess Sophia.
Whatever.
In homage to Kate Hudson.
Johnson?
Mark, have you ever named your dick?
I seem to remember playing like in elementary school with my cousin. We had water balloons and we filled them up, put them in our pants, and then we'd stick the end out and spray water. And we called them willies.
But that's pretty like in England they call penises willies.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
You're Willie.
Liam.
Yeah, I mean that's a pretty standard
slang. Yeah.
When we give Liam water balloons, that's his favorite thing to do.
Yeah.
Favorite thing to
Same
do.
Same immediately.
Yep.
Yep. There you go.
It's just a boy thing.
It's just a boy thing. Yep.
Do girls not do that?
Absolutely not. We do not do.
God, y'all are so lame. Mm. Mark, do you have any ideas for alternate casting? Like, we love the pairing. Matthew McConaughey, Kate Hudson, great. Went on to do other great things that I'm super excited about. But if you had to recast them, where would you go?
Oh, I'd have to recast those two?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. No one else matters, Mark. No one else matters.
I can't think of another, like, rom-com guy like him.
Okay, I'll make it easier.
You give me some options.
In Kate, all right, for both of you.
Okay.
Instead of Matthew McConaughey, you have to pair up a female role alongside Danny DeVito.
Charlie, I need a woman. Okay. I need a woman to cook for me and clean up after me, and somebody who'll do everything I say.
Well, that's just a maid. You want a maid?
Yeah, a maid. A maid I can bang.
I'd rather go back to the other one.
No, you have
Danny DeVito from the 70s, like a 30-year-old Danny DeVito?
I really am thinking, like in my head, I have more of a It's Always Sunny Danny DeVito.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I don't like
Yeah, this is an It's Always Sunny episode that we're talking about here. Yeah. Like, this could not be a rom-com.
It would be so great, man.
Let's go back to the original question.
No.
Helen Mirren.
Hold on. Let me look that up. That may be exactly who I'm thinking of.
Helen Mirren?
Yep.
Mirren.
Yeah. I know the name. I'm trying to think of what she looks like. Wait, the old lady? What?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, with Danny DeVito. I thought we were back on the original. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Oh, okay. God. Okay. This looks like
the
girl.
Is she the Devil Wears Prada? Or is that?
That was.
That's Glenn Close.
Okay.
Right?
No, was it?
I don't know.
Meryl Streep.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, it's Meryl Streep.
That's what I was going to say, but I was like, I'm going to be so wrong. That's not even going to be an actor. No, okay, Mark, help me out. Redheaded actress, very skinny, plays like psycho roles.
Jodie Foster.
No.
Mm-mm. Was she on Wedding Crashers?
I don't know.
No clue.
Kathy Griffin?
No, but I could see that now. You know what? I'm going to go with Kathy Griffin. That's who we need next to Danny DeVito. That's good enough. Good enough for me.
Okay. All right.
I'm still back That's on the weird. Original question. I'm trying to think if there's any way you could cast this and it'd be as good as it was.
Well, okay.
Oh, I don't think so.
I don't think so. I really don't think you could. Like, I'm trying to think of another, like, male actor at that time. Like, you've got like a Brad Pitt type thing, but he would have just been boring. I think Brad Pitt's pretty boring.
What about, is it McDreamy or McSteamy?
Either or.
Oh, yeah, McSteamy probably more than McDreamy.
Yeah, McSteamy's, you think they could have
McSteamy's
pulled this
giving,
off?
Yeah, McSteamy is giving Matthew McConaughey vibes.
He was the young guy with the dark hair?
No, McDreamy was Meredith's Patrick Dempsey.
Right.
And then McSteamy was, I don't know who the actor's name was.
Who was the doctor? Like, I guess
McDreamy,
they're both doctors.
Patrick Dempsey.
Yeah, okay, but who's the intern then? The surgeon?
Yeah, it was his best friend. Who's McSteamy?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm with you now. Right.
He's like the tall, like sort of darkish blonde hair. He could probably have pulled it off. He was a little more like rough around the edges though than McConaughey was in the movie at least.
What about George Clooney?
Yeah, but he's also he's a little bit serious. Like, Matthew McConaughey just has that playful that you really need.
Woody Harrelson.
Oh my God.
No, I don't think so. Have you seen Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Like forever ago.
Yeah, I think George Clooney did a great job playing a funny character there.
Yeah, he can do it, I guess. But it's still... It doesn't have this, like, sexy... Like, George Clooney's, like, a sexy man, but, like, he doesn't have this, like, playful, sexy vibe from... I think he's a bit more, like, suave, and Matthew McConaughey is just a bit more, like, down to earth. Because I feel like this role, like, how you see him portray himself in different interviews and, like, with his pantalones... advertisements, like, it seems like he didn't really have to act that much for this role. It was kind of just who he is,
right?
Like, this is not hard for him. That's why I guess it makes sense why he wanted to move away from this. Like, this was not challenging.
Okay. Wait. Rob Lowe.
No.
All right. I got other ones. Luke Wilson. Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
Ashton would be too goofy.
No, he's too goofy.
Yeah. I was going to say it would be too ridiculous. Yeah.
Shit.
Oh, I could see maybe Justin Hartley.
Who was that?
He was in This Is Us, the guy, the one of the brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The actor. I don't know if you saw it. You mean it.
It's a good looking man.
Yeah. I could see that, maybe.
He's the one that divorced Chrishell.
Yeah. I don't like him as a human being, but.
How do we know it wasn't Chrishell?
It wasn't Chrishell.
How do we know?
It was him.
She's a lesbian now.
Well. Soon.
Who's Chrishell?
Who the fuck is Chrishell?
On Selling Sunset.
Okay, that was going to be my first guess.
Yep.
Yeah, so she was married to this actor while and, like, they were filming.
And he texted her to break up with her. He's kind of a douche.
Break up? They were married.
Okay, divorce.
So. Yeah. But now she's dating this wonderful
non-binary
EDM DJ.
They're a drummer.
Oh.
Yeah.
A drummer.
Yeah, okay. Nobody remembers the drummers, so.
No, like, their name is, what's their name?
Skrillex.
Again, I guess nobody remembers the drummers.
Chrishell?
Yep.
Staus?
G-Flip. That's their name.
G-Flip.
Yep.
Yeah, Chrishell and G-Flip.
That's who Chrishell's married to now.
G-Flip. Oh, yeah, they're married. Okay. G-Flip?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
They're non-binary, so they go by they, them pronouns. And
you know who G-Flip looks like?
Hey, Chrishell's like 15 years older than G-Flip, so.
I'm just saying. So
good for her.
In college, there was a girl that some friends of mine took in because I guess she was in a bad home life situation. She was like 15 or 16 at the time. So this group of college girls who were renting a house were like, okay, come live with us. That's who G-Flip looks like, is that girl.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Okay.
Could be the same person.
That's universally relatable, so thank you.
You're welcome.
For bringing that any, to the table.
I think that everyone listening will understand the story there.
Yeah. Do you want to get back to the movie?
No ambiguity.
The tangent there. That we've gone off on of who could play the roles.
We were talking about the men. What about the women? Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Mm-hmm.
She was in a lot of like teenage-y.
I don't love her.
I did at the time.
Okay.
I
don't love her.
Yeah.
Sounds like a woman's opinion to me.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of who else. I feel like Jennifer Aniston could have done it. That would have been a good.
I think so too,
that would have been good casting.
Let's see. Sarah Michelle Gellar was big around that time too, right?
Yeah, but I still don't think. Mm-mm. Yeah, I think Jennifer Aniston.
I think she could have pulled it off, but that chemistry and the playfulness, I don't think would have been there.
Mm-mm. And the only thing about Jennifer Aniston is she could have been a little too serious. She's pretty.
Whatever. She was Rachel.
Yeah, but like, she didn't know she was dumb. Like, we all knew she was dumb, but she didn't know it. So I think it would have been a little weird if, like, Andy in the movie has to be someone who's, like, intelligent and, like, I don't know. Jennifer Aniston has a hard time being intelligent in movies, I think.
God, shots fired.
I like her. I think she's a great actor, but.
Okay, what if we came around full circle and went back with J-Lo?
I love J-Lo. I think J-Lo would have been great. They have great chemistry, too.
Yeah, I think so.
But I do think...
They obviously... They wouldn't be able to do that so soon back to back.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think this was the perfect casting. I don't think you could have done this with anyone else as good as they did.
Yeah. No, I'm with you guys. I think it was good. You know, McConaughey was old. It was a good risk. Thank God for the guru and fortune teller.
Oh my gosh.
Brought it all together.
That was probably the only scene that I was like, this is so, they like took it pretty far there.
Wait, what scene are you talking about?
Oh no.
I was talking about the fortune teller that was on the street.
I was talking about the therapist.
Oh,
her playing the
yes.
therapist, the best friend. I mean, it worked, but it was also like, Like it was funny being inside the joke, like getting to see this go down.
I think if any girlfriend invited me to therapy, I would have said, this is over. We're done. Hmm. We're done here.
Great.
I mean, day seven.
Oh, yeah. Day seven. Yeah, of course. I thought you meant in general. I was like, well, you probably could use a little therapy.
Yeah. He gets on his hands and knees. Ooh, mercy. he gets on his hands and knees and says, I'll do anything. What do you think about couples therapy? You know, he can barely bring himself to say it.
Because didn't his friend hype him up? Didn't his friend hype him up to say that?
Couples therapy. Of course.
What?
Every time my wife wants to divorce me, I suggest couples therapy. It'll buy you at least 4 days.
Yeah, Tom Lennon said, every time my wife threatens to divorce me, I suggest couples counseling.
Yeah. He's like,
but that is an insane thing on my day wife, six.
Yeah.
You've never had sex.
Yeah.
Let's go to couples therapy. Like, yeah.
That was funny. But it was also a little cringe. There's so much cringe in this movie.
It's a cringy movie. It's all about the cringe.
Mm-hmm. How are things between you sexually?
We haven't had sex.
Oh, no. Ben has a little bit of a problem.
And Catherine Hahn did a great job playing the therapist.
She did.
She's so like, in the beginning of the movie, she's like falling apart.
Yeah, and you're like,
and
wait.
And she's so put together in this scene. Yeah.
And then like, when he figures it out later, he's like, you owe me. That was funny.
Yeah.
But I also think the irony of this whole entire movie was that she ended up with the guy that she tried to lose.
I mean,
but she did all those things too. It's like, well, love is love, I guess. You can be crazy as you want.
The movie starts out where Mike has broken up with her. And at the end, Mike comes back and he says, that perfume that you sprayed on my pillow, the scent is gone. You know, like that's the kind of thing a crazy person would do, spray perfume and be like, he's going to miss the scent when it goes away, you know, and it actually worked.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's pretty, pretty fun.
I don't know if you can have it back, but I am willing to consider it.
Who's your favorite character?
I mean, it really is a tie between Matthew McConaughey and Kate Hudson. Like the two of them just without the other kind of thing wouldn't have worked.
Sure.
So really, I mean, I know it's kind of lame to pick the two main characters, but I really liked them.
Mm-hmm. Mark?
So I'd say Andy is my favorite main character. And then the farting uncle is
side character. That's a good side character.
You got to watch him. He farts like a howitzer.
What a weird little thing to put in there that I think in other movies you would go, they're just trying to have some like slapstick comedy because somebody just vomited out this script. None of it is very good. It doesn't connect very well. But everything, you know, connected well in this movie. And I don't know why, but it made sense. It added to the ambiance of like, this is a real close family type thing. You know, just have the weird uncle who falls asleep and farts all the time.
I feel like we need to give an honorary mention to the dog. That ugly ass dog.
That little
Krull.
Oh my God. That was ridiculous. That little dog.
Well, I liked that, that crazy woman. What would you guess her name was? The old lady at the karaoke scene?
DeLauer.
Mr. Lauer. Yep.
Yeah, she was funny.
I like Mr. Lauer.
She was some good comic relief there.
That's who I want to be when I grow up. But you guys mentioned the farting uncle.
That's a bullshit scene.
Right.
Yeah.
It makes me think of Tiptoes. There was a lot of talk of farting in Tiptoes.
I'm a fucking fart.
There was. It just came to mind.
Okay.
It's another, I can't wait for that episode, Mark. It's going to be crazy, but I can't wait for it to come out.
Oh, boy.
It was really not that bad of a movie. It's a fun one to
critique,
to watch and dissect, for sure. Well, Lizzie, was McConaughey shirtless in this movie? I don't think he was he?
Yes, he was.
Oh, yeah, he was.
100%.
You fucking kidding me?
When she brought the matching shirt for the dog and her and in his office.
Uh-huh.
She made him change right then and there. And I think all the ladies were looking. Or was it earlier in the movie he was changing? Maybe two times. I think he was shirtless.
Well, what about when she ripped his shirt off and go?
Yes, maybe three. Definitely at least two.
Mm-hmm. Mark?
Yep, absolutely. His chest looked great. You know, when she ripped his shirt open, it looked great.
Not a bad view.
Excuse me?
Not at all.
I feel like you're coming back. You're getting there.
Thanks, babe.
75 hearts been good for you.
Save that, Mark. I think you're coming back.
Hey, you're the one that said you look bad. I've never said you look bad.
Boy, I got about 25 pounds on the front of my belly here that needs to go away.
I do nothing to try to lose weight. I'm just kind of riding it out.
Well, Johnny, did you find any wisdom in this film? Did you find yourself a McConaughey?
I just want to meet new people and do cool things. I thought, man, that is about the best reason to go and do something there is in life, isn't it?
I mean, I think that the big takeaway here, Mark, is that love conquers all, right? You can be the craziest batshit woman ever, but if there's love, there's love. Okay. That's it. I'm stopping right there. Likewise for the guys. If you're batshit crazy guys, it may happen anyway, right?
Yeah.
There's a chance for everybody. I got married.
A little higher of a chance for a girl to snag a guy if she's batshit than a guy.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because like if a guy's batshit, it's creepy. If a girl's batshit, it's like kind of cute. It can be cute.
Just do a quick flash and the guy's back on.
That's
board,
exactly so. Right. Like we are easy exactly. to please, boys. Easy. Yeah. Yep. How about you, Mark?
Communication is key. In relationships. That's my wisdom.
Fuck you.
So Lizzie, the McConaughey segment, we either, you know, sometimes you can find wisdom in the movie, or it can be your like favorite line or moment or something like that. So
I, you know, this is like really random. I loved, this is not wisdom at all, but just another little moment that I thought was just very funny was when she's like, he found the Knicks tickets.
Oh, yeah.
I liked that little like plant that she planted. Like, it's just so well thought out. Like, I think you guys underestimate women is the moral of that. You underestimate the mind fuckery that we can do.
Mm. I don't feel like any girl has thought that. Closely about me.
Maybe not you.
Maybe not
I'm
you.
I'm just kidding. Oh, goodness. I have you just wrapped around my little finger and you don't even know it.
Shit.
And then, you know, at the end of the movie, what is the end of day 9? Mm-hmm. And McConaughey says, hey, day 13, I've got Knicks tickets for us. So he's not leaving behind Knicks tickets in the way that she did to get a call back. Mm-hmm. But it is like, you know.
He's trying to get her to
day
10.
Hanging it as a carrot. Like, we're moving on. We're going to keep going past day 10.
Yeah.
George had this pathetic little plan to leave something behind so he could try and weasel a second date.
Really?
I know. He has a real confidence problem.
Guys, we got to review this film. Lizzie, we use a 10-point scale. We review the film, and we review McConaughey's performance.
Okay.
And we always use a different, you know, metric. You know, for the 10-point scale.
Okay.
So, you know, like we could do X out of 10 diamonds.
Okay. I like that.
X out of 10 love ferns.
Love ferns. How you have we literally, not brought up
I know.
Fucking
you
love
literally
ferns
talked yet? About it yesterday. I we did. Were at the we were at Home Depot and he's like, you want a love fern?
We need a fern. We have a hook on the front
really
porch.
He really wants us to get a fern. So maybe we need to get a love fern. Okay. Problem is we might kill it. No, we're not, because we're gardeners now. We're not going to kill it. I like
that's
love
who
ferns.
Kills plants, by the way.
Gardeners.
Gardeners.
Yeah, right. For sure. Johnny's doing a great job with our garden right now.
No, I'm sticking with love
I
ferns.
I like love ferns.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go first. For the movie, for me, this is the quintessential rom-com.
100%.
This is the rom-com that you compare all other rom-coms to.
1,000%.
Yeah. It's certainly not a perfect movie, but it's pretty close. And because it sets the bar for every other rom-com, I've got to give the movie 9 love ferns.
Wow.
What about you, Lizzie?
Okay, so, I mean, I think... I've never, ever rated anything in life 10 out of 10. I think there's always room for improvement
well,
on everything. Okay.
Almost.
There's very always room for improvement. And so I would actually say a 10.8. I mean, 9.8 out of 10.
Wow.
It's so close. I mean, it is. You're exactly right. It is the rom-com of all rom-coms.
I feel like I need to have this on, like, repeat in the bedroom.
Like, I've told you so many times, like, this is one of my favorite movies. I think we've watched it at least twice together. Wow. It is. I'm not even going to lie. I'm pretty sure when I was in college, I got like a VHS little TV for my room so I could just listen and watch movies while I was like fall asleep. And I just have it running. And I think that was one of the movies that I had. It's like subconsciously in me now.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So good. So
you can be activated like the Manchurian Candidate if someone says Benny Booby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
This is couples therapy right now. I'm learning so much about my wife.
That's good. It'll take time to talk.
What about you, Binky Winky? How would you rate the movie?
I'm giving this 7 love ferns. All right. And here's why. If this was just a scale of rom-coms, absolutely 10 out of 10. But this is a scale of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And there's so much more love fern out there for me. Right. So I'm going to give it 7 because it was great for what it was, but it's an incomplete thing for me. It's just not my thing. Sorry.
All right. So, we can still be friends.
So disappointed.
But
I don't know if I didn't give it
like
married.
A 2 or something. Okay. Like I'm still going to water
7.
The damn thing.
I think you're just trying to be like the audience.
Ooh, maybe.
Serious fire engine outside.
I didn't even. Yeah. All right. Next is the film overall, or right, or is it Matthew?
His acting.
His performance. That's right.
Yeah.
Mark?
Oof. I mean, again, this is a Saturday morning character. It's no Dallas Buyers Club performance. Better than Tiptoes, although the writing is a hell of a lot better than
Tiptoes.
I think he was a better actor here than he was in Wedding Planner. But again, maybe that was the writing
of
the character was.
And the casting.
I'll give him 8.5 love ferns. So 8 full love ferns and 1 that's asleep, as he put it.
Could be woken back up.
It's asleep.
Yeah. So it's a little halfy. Half chub.
I would say 9 out of 10. I think I agree. Like it was not a challenging role for him at all. He very much was this persona, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It was not hard for him to put that on. He just did so good. He executed it perfectly. There was nothing he like messed up. Like, he did so good.
And that's where I'm going to have to disagree. I'm giving him 2 love ferns on this one.
Oh my gosh, I cannot with you today.
We will stay married and raise the kids until they're out of the house, but I will not respect you, and I'll make sure the kids don't either.
This is so disappointing right now. Does he always do this shit to you?
No, not always.
No, I... God, Jesus, that was a joke. I'm going to give him 9 love ferns like the rest of you assholes.
Was it a joke for real?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. I was like, I am not okay right now. I'm questioning our entire relationship.
Yeah, Lizzie, how many love ferns?
9. I'm at 9.
9? Yeah. Oh, you're 9. Okay. All right.
Because again, I think
what about you, Jen?
He did some.
Yeah, I give him 9. He did great. It was like you said. It was a role written for him. Like,
yeah.
I feel like this was an easy role for him, and he fit right into it. It was snug like a glove.
I like it. Well, I've got a journal entry for us today.
Please.
Let's hear it.
That's the fun about journaling. There are no rules, all right?
All right.
So I put it in the chat for y'all because it's a little long.
Okay, I was like, I'm sitting here trying to read that because I'm like, oh my God, what the fuck is he trying to tell us? What message is he trying to give us? Okay, I'm good.
So I pulled this from Green Lights, and it's, I don't know, well, I think it's sort of relates to his time with rom-coms, and I think we can definitely apply it to his stint doing rom-coms, and it's a little poem, a little vignette titled The Justice It Deserves. To appreciate a place fully, a man must know that he can live there. when all his discomforts disappear and he lets himself be owned by the place. He needs to customize and localize himself to the place he visits, to the degree that he knows he could dwell there forever. Then and only then is it truly acceptable for him to leave. Wherever you are, give the place the justice it deserves. So, and I think we could apply this to his time doing rom-coms. You know, there were paychecks. He was good at them.
Mm-hmm.
And once he knew he could dwell there forever, that's when he went on to the reconnaissance and
stopped
working for 2 years. So
that was really, that was very applicable. I agree. I think that was good. What are you going to say?
Nothing. Nothing. I just was going to say I could live inside you, baby.
Oh my gosh.
I'll take it somewhere else. Okay?
Not this podcast.
Yeah, take it to one of your other podcasts, which, Lizzie, you have a handful of podcasts that you do, right?
I do have a handful of podcasts.
Just a little celebrity now.
Yeah, I went viral on TikTok today, which is fun. Or yesterday. Mm. I've been viral on TikTok a lot recently, so watch out, guys. It's coming for you. But yes, I have a podcast called Au Pair and Host Mom Unfiltered, and our au pair is my co-host on that, and we dissect everything au pair and host mom related. And then our other podcast that Johnny and I have together is our real estate podcast called The Modern Real Estate Agents.
Both of which are great. The Modern Real Estate Agents is obviously superior.
Sometimes.
Yeah, so where can folks find Au Pair?
On Spotify or Apple.
Okay.
Make sure to follow her on TikTok, where she goes viral at all times.
Yeah, that's just Au Pair Host Mom on TikTok.
Au Pair Host Mom. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Johnny, what are we watching next time?
Dude, Mark, next time is honestly something I'm very excited about. It's Sahara, 2005, Penelope Cruz, Steve Hahn, Rainn Wilson. It's super funny. I enjoyed it. I loved it as a kid. High school. Again, high school times, high school days, right? A film that was supposed to turn into a film series bigger than James Bond or Indiana Jones. Confederate Gold in Africa. Okay.
Yeah, so I wrote that little line because I've never seen the movie. Okay.
What?
But, I've never seen it
either. Yeah. So there's Confederate Gold in Africa?
Dude.
What is that?
It's a great premise. I think that the world was written around the storyline, okay? Because we all know that, like, the Nazis went down and lived in Colombia after World War II, right? Like, that's where they went and headed out.
Argentina.
Thank you. Argentina. Mm-hmm. And that's where their gold is, okay? So Confederate gold obviously had to go to the other side, which was Africa.
Okay.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You know? Yeah.
Well, that'll be fun.
Well, Lizzie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Well, you kind of were forced into having me.
Yeah. No, like you said, as soon as Mark and I came up with this idea, you were like, I'm going to be on for How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
I voluntold myself.
Like, babe, that's like a year away from now. I don't care. I'm going to be there. Okay.
Also want to thank the listeners. Thank you to Holisna for our theme song, Hey Aqualung. You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at MasteringMPod. We haven't gone viral there yet, but you know, maybe Lizzie will repost something of ours, and maybe she can help us. You can reach out to us, send your adulations, corrections, and hate mail to masteringmpod@gmail.com, or you can call and leave us a voicemail. Yeah, we've already plugged Johnny and Lizzie's other podcasts. I don't want to drop the name again.
Yeah, we don't need too much.
God, it's just so wildly successful. I don't know what I'm doing by mentioning it every time. But if you like this episode, subscribe, leave us a 5-star review, and we'll catch you next time as we discuss Sahara. Bye, y'all.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Look at Michelle. She is a great girl, right?
Yes.
An amazing woman. But she has a problem hanging on to relationships and doesn't really know what she's doing wrong, which is like a lot of our readers.
Uh-huh.
So,
I was thinking that I could start by dating a guy and then drive him away, but only using the classic mistakes most women, like Michelle, make all the time.
And now, a word from our friends.
No, I don't have any friends.
You're the only friends I got out here.
Hey, everyone. Mark here. And I wanted to tell you about a new podcast that I'm hosting. It's called The Double Take, co-hosted by Terrence Jordan. He and I together, we talk about our favorite rewatchable movies. We try our best to bring our unique insight, and we do as much deep dive and behind-the-scene moments that you didn't even know existed. So if you like movies, give us a listen. You can find us anywhere you listen to podcasts. But to make it easy, you can find the links in the show notes for this episode. So remember, The Double Take, check us out. And now back to the show.